Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Paul Ogando.
Get your Bibles out, and if you didn't bring a Bible, iPad, iPhone, whatever you like to use, I was going to say go to Hebrews, but no, don't do that. Been at it for a long time, even in Spanish too. It's been a beautiful thing, but in a moment, go to Psalm 105, and I'm going to jump around in a few verses, but that's going to be kind of our text for tonight. And if you want to mark another one, you can mark Deuteronomy 7. And there'll be some in between, but those are kind of our anchor points that I want to bring out tonight. I want to talk about everlasting promises. And everlasting promises is such a big kind of Christianese word, but it's so important that we understand what promises are all about, especially in the Word of God. And so there was a time when my children were a lot smaller, and I used to tell my kids all the time, hey kids, you know what, tomorrow we're going to do X, Y, Z. Tomorrow we're going to go to the park. Tomorrow when I come back, I'm going to do this tomorrow. And then tomorrow will come and something that seemed more important will take the precedent of me taking my kids out or doing this. And then one day after doing this several times, my wife stopped me and said, listen, you can't keep doing that. And I said, doing what? Like, I didn't even know what was going on. Doing what? And she said, you cannot keep making a promise to the children and then not keeping your word. And I think for many of us, even though that's a simplistic example, for many of us, we've been through some things in life where someone did not keep their promises to us. And that creates in our heart something that is so profound. It creates an uneasiness, it creates a dissatisfaction, it creates an insecurity about people making promises to us. And therefore, when we come to relate to God, we relate to God with that same heart. And that's a problem. That's a problem because the Word of God clearly says that God is not a human. That God is not the person who broke the promise to you, but we're still left with that in our hearts, and that relationship is affected when the Word of God has so many beautiful promises for us. We cannot get the fullness of it because, you know what? People have said and done things, and then they really didn't mean it. But if you get anything from me today and from the Lord is this, that God says what He means, and He means what He says. God says what He means, and He means what He says. And if anything else you check out tonight, that phrase alone is very important for you to get. That the God of heaven, when He says something, there is meaning behind it, and He is meaning to do exactly what He says on our behalf. That's what happened to me this morning. This morning I was reading my word, and happened to be in Psalm 105. Psalm 105 is very interesting. Starts with praising God for all He's done, and look at this and look at that. And all of a sudden, it lands in Psalm 105, verse 8. Psalm 105, verse 8. Psalm 105, verse 8. And I'm going to read it in several versions because I want you to get excited about this. But this is when I first read it this morning. This is what came to me. It says, He remembers His covenant forever, the words which He commanded for 1,000 generations. And so as I read it this morning, I was like, wow, that's awesome. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, but you don't believe it. I was like, well, it's not that I don't believe it, Holy Spirit. You know, it's like, not that bad. I just feel uncomfortable. Because I feel that certain promises are not happening. I feel distant from this thing. If you're going to be honest with somebody, you better be honest with God because He already knows what's up. So as I'm sitting there this morning, the Lord says, read it again. So I read this verse again. Okay. He remembers His covenant forever, His word which He commanded for 1,000 generations. And all of a sudden, something in me grew and I said, you know what? I'm going to believe God because he commanded it and it's for 1,000 generations. It means there's no ending to it. Look what he says. Here. The ESV version says, he remembers his covenant forever. The word that he commanded for 1,000 generations. God won't forget what he told you and what he said about you. Psalm 105, 108, New Living Translation. He always stands by his covenant. He always stands by his covenant. And this is so important for us to not judge God the way we've seen it. I mean, how many of us have purchased something and it breaks? And when we show up, they said, oh, you did not read the fine print. Because you showed up after 90 days plus a day. That actually happened to me. So, but he always stands by his covenant. I'm telling him to do something, it's gonna get done. The commitment he made to 1,000 generations. Wow, to 1,000 years, the commitment he made. God is so committed to each one of us. God is so committed to communicating and keeping his words and leading us in a way that is absolutely amazing. And we gotta believe that. And I started changing in my behavior, in my communication with my own children. Like my daughter wanted me to promise, she'd been collecting bottles so that she can trade them in into the recycle so that she can have cash to buy a book that she wanted. And she made me she hounded me. Dad, when are you going to take the book? Dad, I'm going to go with you. Dad, when am I going to take it to the recycling? And I was like, oh my gosh. But I already knew. So I said, I'm going to try, but I'm not going to promise. Because I didn't want to fail. But I did keep my promise this morning. I actually took it to the recycle and got her money. But I wanted her to know, I'm going to do this. Because if we create a system where we feel kind of disconnected from the Lord, because everything in life has led us to believe that God will not keep his promises, it's a very frustrating thing. And look the power of that through 1,000 generations. And this is so important because God, if you keep reading Psalm 105, it's very interesting. But then he goes on to saying, hey, listen, I gave you this promise when you were yet small, when you were little. And then we'll see in Deuteronomy again when he says this. When I read that today, I was like, wow, that's amazing. God gave you a promise based on his power, not in your position, not in who you are. The promise didn't come because you're good. The promise didn't come because you're a certain color. The promise didn't come because you're a certain ethnicity. The promise came because he said it. And he's saying it on behalf of you and for you. Amen? Come on, you can clap for him if you want. This is so important. When they were yet small, God made the confession that they would be great and mighty and powerful. And God is here to do these things. I was so encouraged. We have some friends who kind of are in the prophetic. And a long time ago, I was translating for this friend of mine. His name is Jim, and he's a prophet. And prophets are weird. They act weird. Even the word of God, they word. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't use them. But Jim was a great man. He was a missionary in my country. And so he called me, hey, can you translate for me? So I translated for a crusade that he did. And this is one of those guys that likes to pray for everybody. So we started at 10 a.m., and it was 3 p.m. in the afternoon. I was still translating for everybody. I was just about to lose it. I think I was making things up. I was like, yeah, Lord's going to bless you. Don't worry about it. Like, dude, let's move on. I'm fried, you know? I didn't do that, but I wanted to. I'm like so tired. So then he said at the very end, he said, you know what? You've been with me. Can I pray for you? So he prays for me. I wrote these things down and I moved on with life. And then one day my wife calls her uncle and says, hey, would you pray for Paul and I? We're praying over some things a few years ago over some things. And so he says, sure, I'll pray. And I'll ask a friend. And so his friend prays for us and sends an email to us. And there was a phrase in the email that was so interesting, a phrase in the email that said, there's a journal with information in your life from 20 years ago. And this is important for the promises of God. I'm not talking about only prophetic, because we'll look a little bit at that, but the promises of God are so important for our lives in every area, the ones that are written and the ones that come to us. And one day I'm cleaning my desk. This happened just like 3 weeks ago. I'm cleaning my desk because I'm looking for certain receipts that I needed. And I find this blue book and I realize, oh man, this is my journal from like a gazillion years ago. I don't know how many. I open the first page, and the first page was when that guy didn't pray for me, and I wrote it down. Oh, man, that's pretty cool. You know, it's really good to remember those things when somebody prayed for you, the things they said. Oh, that's awesome. And so I tell my wife, and my wife was like, oh, my gosh, I got to read it. You know, she's like, really, I got to look at it. And she opens it and looks at the date. Now, this is so crazy. God is so good in this regard. She looks at the date when I wrote it, and it was 20 years to the date when I found the journal. 20 years to the date. And I just sat on that couch like, that just got weird. Let's go get ice cream. No, I'm kidding. So 20 years to the date, and some of those things had happened. And I'm like, wow, that's crazy. Like, I never knew. I wrote those things, and I thought I lost that book. I've carried that book everywhere. I took it with me, and I was in Peru. I brought it back to America. I brought it with me, and I moved to the States. I mean, I travel with that book everywhere. Never read it. All of a sudden, I stumble upon this thing because God wants us to have something in mind that what he says, he means it, and he intends to have those things happen in our life. Are you with me today? Very important. There are three elements that I believe God gave me. There could be a million of them, but I like teaching this way. To obtain the promises, we need three things that he showed me for tonight. Three things. The number one, faith. So simple, so crucial. So simple, so crucial. Faith is the elements, the motors, the machine that gets this thing going in the Word of God. And in our life, we live in a society that is really driven, especially in the first world, that we live in, is so important to understand that it's driven by two things. What you have, you're measured by what you have, and you're measured by what you know. Those two things drive the knowledge and the understanding of United States, Germany, those the large countries, wealthy countries. Those are the two elements that people are looking for. And so what happened is because you are judged by what you know, faith seems so weird and distant and rare, and people don't want to be spiritual. But that's a lie, and I'm gonna tell you why. It's so interesting. I was reading an article that says that Hollywood lost a bunch of money over the summer, which I can care less if Hollywood loses money. It's fine with me. But they all of a sudden release one of the biggest blockbusters in summer in Hollywood. It's a movie called It. Don't go watch it, please. It's a Stephen King movie that is absolutely horrifying, okay? And I've always hated horror movies. And so it's a horrifying movie, and everybody's going to see it. So it's not that people don't like spirituality. It's that people like weird stuff. And they think weird is better than the goodness of God because that's what they've been told. And they're judging the faith they can have in a God that keeps his promises over all these things that in their life that can come their way. How can you possibly believe more in demons than you can believe in the goodness of God coming your way? Think about it, how twisted that is. Think about it. They believe more in the demonic than they believe in the goodness of God and his power operating on our behalf. That is, man, we're on the right side. I like it. We're on the good side, amen? Come on. Genesis 24, I run into an episode that was so interesting. Abraham, which is the father of faith, that's how the Word of God states it, Abraham and Sarah, and Sarah has died, and his son is getting old, Isaac, the son of the promise, and Abraham is getting really old and about to die. So it turns out, I'm gonna give you kind of the Paul version, it turns out that Isaac had no game and no girl. And so Abraham tells the servant, listen, my son has no game. You got to go get him a girl. You got to read the Word of God. It's awesome. I like the Word of God. So he said, go get him a girl in the land of my father and bring her over. And so I believe his name was Eliezer. He freaks out. He's like, what do you mean? Like, I'm just going to go to some land and grab the girl? That's a great question. And they said, what if the girl doesn't want to come? Like, that makes sense. You know, they put an Amber Alert. If I just grab a girl and throw on a camel, that's not going to work either. So Eliezer says, what's going on? And it's so amazing because Abraham affirms Eliezer by going back to the promises of God. And even when we're insecure, even when we're like, I'm not sure, I'm afraid to fail, I'm afraid to take the step, Eliezer was like, you're giving me the job of continuing the legacy of the promise of God. Are you kidding me? How am I gonna do that? And look what Abraham says to him. This is so awesome. Genesis 24:7 says, the Lord God of heaven, Abraham talking, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me. So Abraham's saying, God made a promise, saying, to your descendants I give this land. He will send his angels before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. Abraham was so full of faith. Abraham says, I can't do it myself, but I know one thing. There's a girl, because God told me I will have descendants, and there'll be many. And for many of us, there's a time when we have to take this step, even if we think we're going to fail, and just say, there's a promise for me, and there's something good to be had. I'm going to hold on to the good things of God, and I'm going to take the step because God already promised it to me. Are you with me? Very important. Romans says it this way. Again, Romans chapter 4, the Apostle Paul talking about it. And he says the following. I don't know if we have it with me. Romans 4, verse 20 says, he did not waver. He did not waver. He was like, I'm not sure. Isaac's getting old. I'm getting old. No girls around here. No. He said he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. That, my friends, is a powerful element against Christianity and your walk with God. It's unbelief. As a matter of fact, one of the favorite stories I have is that man who brought his child to Jesus and, you know, full of demons, and says, heal him, do something. This thing throws him in the fire and it's going to kill him. And Jesus says, believe. And he says, I do, but help my unbelief. I love honesty that way. And I think Jesus did too, because Jesus ended up healing him. He says, I'm going to heal him. So be honest with yourself. But you have to go back to the belief. And says, but was strengthened in what? In what? In faith. So unbelief saps you. Faith energizes you. He was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. He yet didn't have a family. He only had that boy of the promise. And he was saying, God, thank you. You're going to do it. I know you're going to do it. It's going to be a girlfriend. They're going to grow. They're going to have kids. Things are going to advance. Verse 21, and being fully convinced. I like that. Being fully convinced that what he has promised, he was also able to perform. I love that. Being fully convinced. You know why he was fully convinced? Because Abraham was not trusting in himself. Abraham was trusting in God. In God, in God's ability to do something. And for many of us, that is very, very important. Very important. You know what? Many of us trust in banking institutions and different things because they have the money to back what they're saying. They have the ability to do that. Why not trust God in that same ability? Why not just believe God that he has the ability to do it just like Abraham? Do not waver. Do not waver. Faith is important to reach the promises of God. Number two for tonight, to obtain the promises, we need to do something. We need confession. We need confession. And this confession is not the confession of saying, I'm sorry, even though confession brings that. It's not the repentance of sin that we're talking about. It's the speaking of the word of God. It's the communicating the truth of God. As a matter of fact, when it comes to confessing the word of God, in my church background, I saw very little. I started learning when I came to this church 14 years ago, and I heard Pastor Jim and Deborah teach on it, and they did it in a simple way, and we would hear about faith, and we would hear about confession often in our services, and I remember I was so new to it. I was like, okay, I guess I'll say it. I guess I'll do it. But I started seeing such a powerful thing, and my wife is into it so much. She's always, as a matter of fact, she gets on me all the time. I don't know what I said the other day. I'm more like realistic, borderline negative at times. I think I said too much. Dial that back. So I said something, and she's like, she turns around. She's like, you know what? Take it back. Say something good. I'm like, whoa, woman, relax. Like, it was a joke. No, it's not a joke. You got to say truth. But she so believes that, like, the things that you say matter. The things that you confess are important. And so we're working with our children not to do that, to really say those things and say the truth about what God is doing in them and not just consuming those things. And that's why knowing your word and hearing it and saying it is very, very important. Confessing the word over your life. When you read it in the morning, even if it's just pastor, I don't read a lot. Do you know you get the daily verse from one of those Bible apps? Just do that. Just do the daily verse. That is rich. That is the word of God alive and well operating in you. Just do that. Begin there, but confess it and say it. In the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 9 is so interesting because Daniel is, if I understand my history correct, Pastor Luke is better than me at that, but I believe he served four kings. He served four kings. This guy was amazing. Daniel was brought as a slave with his buddies. We all know the story. He learned the language of the Chaldeans so he can teach it to the children of Israel. He served four kings. So here's Daniel, who was somebody who was brought as a slave into this position, becomes one of the leaders of wisdom and in those people in that kingdom. And he, kings come and kings go, and Daniel's still there. Yep. Daniel's still there in his 80s. I mean, he was still giving wisdom. What an amazing thing. God can do that. And it says in Daniel 9 that he was reading the book of Jeremiah. Oh, he was looking at the prophets. He was looking at what the Lord has said and remembering what Jeremiah has said. So here's what Daniel's doing. Daniel's seeing the signs of the time and saying, wait a minute, I've seen this stuff before. I've seen this stuff. I've seen three hurricanes and an earthquake. I've seen this stuff before. The world says that the earth is groaning, desiring Jesus. That's what the word of God says. And Daniel says, I've seen this stuff. Look what he says. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3 says, then I set my face towards the Lord God. I love this. He didn't go tell everybody all the stuff and all the prophetic. He didn't go crazy. He didn't go on Facebook Live and said a bunch of crazy stuff. Says that he just went to God. He went to God. He said, I'm reading the word, Lord. What do you say? Confession towards the Lord. Faith to the Lord God. Make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Verse 4. And I prayed to the Lord my God. Once again, he's saying, if God was the one who gave the word, I want to hear something from him. And made confession and said, oh Lord, great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and mercy to those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. He's saying, listen, I know you keep your word, Father, and so I'm bringing it to you. And I love that expression because that word confession, I believe, is yada in the Old Testament. And it's an amazing word because it has many meanings, but it has two that I love. The first meaning that I saw was giving thanks. So when you confess, you're giving thanks. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. You're so awesome. Thank you for this day. Thank you for what I have so far. Thank you, Lord, that, I mean, giving thanks is so powerful, so powerful. Here's the second thing. That is acknowledgement, to acknowledge something. And so it says that Daniel acknowledged the power of God. And when you acknowledge the word of God operating in you, you're not denying your situation. People think that doing faith confession is denying your situation. You're not denying. If your leg is broken, it's broken. But God has the power to heal, restore, strengthen you, use you, give you a better life, give you abilities, do something above and beyond than you are capable of doing at the moment. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's not denying your situation. If your bank account says zero, mathematically, is zero. There's nothing to it. But God says that he's good and that he provides for his children and he's never seen the righteous go hungry. That's what the word of God says. We're not denying our situation. We're embracing the power of God by operating in his word. We have to do that and believe that he's capable of doing it in our life. Number three, to obtain the promises, we need not only faith and we need confession, but we need patience. We need patience. And this is so, so important. As a matter of fact, I'm teaching a series on patience in our Spanish service. And while studying patience, I realized, boy, there's so much of it in the Bible. So much of it. And it's so important for the Christian. Those who believe in God and give their heart to the Lord, patience, it is a must for us to be able to live out the life that Christ wants for us. That's an amazing thing. I didn't know that. And I knew I needed patience. My wife and children and friends are telling me I need patience. The freeway tells me I need patience. The DMV, that's not go there. There's nothing you can do about that one. Just let it out, repent afterwards, and move on. So patience is an element that we all need that is really, really important because we need to operate in this thing. We need to allow God to work in our lives. I heard a phrase, because the children of Israel, through the process of God, God said, I'm going to give you this land, but God took them through a journey to get there. And that journey was so crucial. One of those positions was to be stuck in Egypt, because God wanted to use that moment in Egypt. And in Exodus 2, verse 24 says, so God heard their groaning. So they're suffering. They're going through trouble. Does anyone in this building go through trouble? Oh, yeah. Hello? Yeah. All of us. And God remembered his covenant. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know in what trouble you're in, but he has not forgotten what he said about you, and he will do on your behalf. He has not forgotten, because that's a promise. But we have to be careful in the process of believing God and working with God, because I heard this phrase that so shocked me, and it was so powerful. See, the children of Israel were happy to leave Egypt, but they weren't patient to make it to the promised land. I'll repeat, they were happy to get out of Egypt, but they weren't patient to make it to the promised land. You know what happens? A lot of people are happy to be free. They give their hearts to the Lord. They feel the touch of God, but they're not patient to walk the journey of the Christian life. You have to be patient. You have to be patient with yourself. You have to be patient in the things you're working on. You have to be patient in the things that you walk. I believe that many people leave from God not because of their struggle and those things, those are important, but because they're simply not patient. They want a quick solution to everything. And let me tell you, some things in my life have gone right away. I made a prayer and God took it away. And some things I've had to deal with it for years. But in both, I see God. In both, I see God. And we need patience in order for God to operate in us so that we can get where he wants us to be. There's so much of it. You can make a study on your own, but patience is so powerful, and we need it for all kinds of aspects. Hebrews 10:36 says, patient endurance is what you need now. Patient endurance is what you need when? Now. So that you will continue to do God's will, then you will receive all that he has promised. Only then when you keep going, only then when you keep doing, only then. And all of us, we've been there, man. God, I'm praying for my husband, and your word says got to love and submit. Right? Lost all the ladies there. Message is over. And then 3 days later, God, I've been submitting for 3 days. Help me out. Right. We've all been there. All been there. Lord, this woman, what am I going to do, Father? I'm trying. Father, Lord, finances. I tithed yesterday, Lord. Where is it?
I've done that.
Almost, because patience is so hard. It's something that you have to develop. Those who have raised children or raising children, man, you know it. It's like working with this kid to just, you know, it's like, hey, it's a process. All of us working. Some people are natural. I've been surrounded. I've been blessed, thank God, to be surrounded with very patient. My wife is super patient, and my mother is absolutely super patient. I mean, they're just wonderful. And so I've been blessed by that, because I don't think they'll say the same that I blessed them, but I've been blessed by it. Thank God. The reverse happens. But he says, listen, if you will continue doing God's will, then you will receive all that he has promised. I want to encourage somebody tonight. If you've been doing the will of God and you feel like, Lord, I mean, I've been good, God. I stopped hanging out with those guys. I walked away from this relationship. God, I've been good. What's going on? Here's what the Lord is telling you. Hang on. You're going to get the promise, but you need patience. Just keep doing the right thing for the length of time that I want. I want to end with this tonight. I believe it's a promise that God is asking me to speak over your life. And if you want to mark it and read it to yourself at home, this would be very powerful. found in Deuteronomy 7, 6, and 9. Deuteronomy 7, 6, and 9. And I'm going to read it tonight. It is just so amazing. And I want us to end reading this because this is a promise God gave to the children of Israel. And I believe it applies to us tonight. And it says, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be the people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor chose you because you were more in number than any other people." No, he didn't choose you. "For you were the least of all peoples." If you have ever felt little, the Lord chose you. If you feel small, he chose you. If you feel our city and our areas are absolutely depleted, which they are in many ways, but the Lord chose to be here because he chooses many small things to make them great, to do great things in them. And when he says that over Israel, he's saying, don't feel bad. I didn't pick you because you were strong, you were big, you were powerful. I picked you for the opposite reasons. Because I want to show my power in your life. I want your family and friends to see, man, what happened to you? The power God invaded my life, invaded my family, invaded my children, invaded my life in every area. That's what the Lord wants. He wants people to see the goodness of God operating in you. Verse 8, "But because the Lord loves you." I love that. We sang about it. "Because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeem you from the house of bondage." Talking about Israel, I'm talking about Egypt, from the house of Pharaoh, the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Now listen, verse 9. "Therefore, no." Can you say that phrase with me? 1, 2, 3. "Therefore, no." If you've been in this church more than 2 weeks, you've already heard explain this. Pastor Jim has always explained this phrase. "Therefore" is there for a reason. And he's saying it because he just told you that you were small, you had issues, but I love you. And I picked you for a reason. And for that reason, you gotta know. And you gotta know. You gotta know. You gotta have it in you. You gotta know. "Therefore, you gotta know." What should I know, Lord? "That the Lord your God, he's a God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments." He wants you to know that tonight. You know what? Because the one thing we all gotta know is that God means what he says, and he says what he means. In every phrase and in every area, God wants to keep his promises on your behalf. Would you give him a clap? This guy, God spoke to you tonight.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.